understand England, so I got to hell out. I like it here in the Persian Gulf. And I want to have a look at some of the islands in the Indian Ocean. The palms along the shore of a lagoon. The sails of dhonis against the blue of the sky. And one day, I'll find what I'm looking for.
What are you looking for?
People.
In the meantime, you're sitting cross-legged on a dhow in native clothes with only your kit bag.
What more do I need? Why are you bothering to talk to me? I'd have thought you'd have kept well away when you found out who I was, when you knew that my name was Strode.
The Strode Venturer, a radio play by Peter Hoare from the novel by Hammond Innes.
Look down there. I'd forgotten how big London was.
You've been too long in Java. It's always a shock when you come back to it.
End of the journey. I've been glad of your company, Commander Bailey.
Thank you.
I hope I've not bored you about seismography, but it's my great interest. I seem to have talked about it ever since we left Singapore.
Not a bit. I've always been fascinated by the Indian Ocean.
And the seabed, I assure you, is in the process of change.
Ah, change. It's what's facing both of us.
Yes, we both have new lives to make. Mine was forced on me by conditions in Java. I didn't wish to give up my rubber plantations. You are at least leaving the Navy voluntarily.
Well, that's what worries me. I've landed myself in the mess I'm in. I got a couple of children away at boarding school. Had a letter from my daughter. The faith they have in me. You know, she wrote, I suppose you'll be a director or something. Couldn't we have a house in London as well as a cottage in Sussex? Well, what am I to say to her? That I'm at a turning point in my life, and when my gratuity is gone, well, we may not have a house at all.
Take my advice. Don't just drift into something because it offers you security. Security is never worth a damn. And you've no wife to consider. Forgive me, but your recent bereavement, it has this practical side.
Oh, yes. And, anyway, my marriage for some years.
Yes, so you indicated. Myself, I'm looking forward to starting over again.
Well, at least you've got some capital left from your estate.
A little. But you had these shares you told me about in the shipping company.
Yes, there's something odd going on there. That's one of the reasons I wanted to come back and find out what it is.
You should go there at once.
I shall.
Ah, we are about to touch down. Here is my address.
The Oriental Club.
Yes, if you should care for a drink sometime.
Thank you.
You know, apart from your shares, I feel you have some other interest in this shipping line.
Yes, I have. My father started it. The line they now call the Strode Orient.
Bailey. Oh, yes, of course. That was many years ago.
Well, I was a boy at the time, but I remember my father's death only too well when Strode bought him out. He died at sea on one of the firm's ships.
Well, that's all ancient history. Now, you wrote to Mr. Strode in regard to some employment with us.
Yes.
To Mr. Henry Strode or Mr. George Strode?
Well, I just addressed the letter Mr. Strode. I met him out in the Persian Gulf.
Mr. Henry Strode is chairman and Mr. George Strode... I don't think either of them has ever been in the Persian Gulf.
Is there another brother?
Well, there's Peter Strode. He's a half-brother. We don't see much of him. Rather a rolling stone, as a matter of fact.
And he's not a director of the firm?
No.
Well, could I see Mr. Henry Strode, then?
I'm afraid he's not in today. He always hunts on Thursdays.
I see. The firm's in a pretty bad way, isn't it?
I wouldn't say that. We didn't have an especially good year in 1962.
And 1963 doesn't look like being any better.
Really, Commander Bailey, I cannot make forecasts to someone who is a stranger to us.
And I suppose Mr. George Strode isn't in either.
No. I believe he's lunching at his club today. A business lunch, of course.
Of course. And you don't know where Mr. Peter Strode is?
I'm afraid I have no idea.
I've had an offer for my shares. Pretty poor one. From an undisclosed purchaser. I want to find out what's going on with Strode Orient, Mr. Wimbrell. But if I can't from you, I know a man in the city, a stockbroker. I'll go and see him. Good day to you.
Just a moment. Perhaps I have been a little unnecessarily reticent.
Uh-huh.
There are certain matters which are common knowledge in the city which perhaps I might...
Ah, good. Carry on.
In 1955, the year Mr. Henry Strode Sr. died, the price of the shares ranged from 42 shillings to 58 and 6. May I ask what you were offered for yours?
10 shillings.
Huh? That's high with the current state of the market.
High?
Recently they've fallen as low as 2 shillings. How many do you hold?
20,000. What was an inheritance of £50,000, I'll drop to 2, not as much as my gratuity.
Oh, you've left the Navy, then?
Well, I'm in the process of leaving.
You've probably been offered a price above the market value by a group who are anxious to acquire a controlling interest in Strode.
A takeover bid?
Yes. The directors are against it. The annual general meeting of Strode Orient is tomorrow.
Right, I'll come to it.
Do. I'll have a chat with the chairman and try to arrange to take you in to see him afterwards.
Oh, thank you.
How did you get on with Peter Strode when you met him?
Rather well.
That's what I hoped. Yes. I think you may be very helpful to us, Commander Bailey.
Now, what can I get you? Scotch?
Yes, thanks. Soda?
Not for me, thank you.
Wimble?
Thank you, yes, Mr. Strode.
Yes, I noticed you were at the meeting. Quite a lively affair this year.
Well, some of the shareholders didn't seem too happy.
That man Selden, you mean?
Yes.
He's always a nuisance. I can usually make short work of him.
Well, the great majority of shareholders appreciate that shipping is going through the worst slump in its history.
Cheers. Yes, quite so. But as you heard, there is a minority who feel that the board should be strengthened by the addition of Peter Strode.
Well, my impression was that they thought the family wouldn't sell out as long as they were all on the board.
A united front.
Yes.
Exactly. Now, how well do you know Peter?
Oh, well enough to know that he wouldn't want to work in a city office.
No, we don't expect that.
I think the chairman has in mind a purely nominal appointment.
Ah.
As well, you've no idea where he is at present.
None whatever.
I understand you were in the Persian Gulf together.
Yes, that's where I met him.
Well, if your information is correct, it's 5 or 6 years since he was in that area, way back in the 50s, surely. Do you think you could locate him now?
Well, probably, but why didn't you do it yourself?
Oh, my brother and I have never got on very well with Peter. Like you, I think I could find him if I tried, but he'd probably tell me to go to hell.
Whereas if someone else put the proposition to him, he might accept.
Exactly.
Ah.
Now, you're just out of the Navy and shopping round for a job, eh?
Yes.
Well, you find Peter. Persuade him to come back and join the board, and there'll be a job for you in Strode Orient. How's that?
What sort of a job have you got in mind?
Well, we could find you something suitable. As for salary, I suggest the same as you're getting in the Navy. Backdated to today, as soon as Peter's on the board. Would that satisfy you?
There's the question of expenses, Mr. Strode.
Oh, of course, you draw on the company for all necessary expenses.
Could I have the whole offer in writing?
Of course, my dear fellow. I'll send it off to you today, together with a letter confirming Peter's appointment to the board.
Right.
I don't think you'll have any difficulty in persuading him. Just remind him that a seat on the board means $4,000 a year in his pocket, eh?
Well, when you write the letter, perhaps you'd give me the names of possible contacts. There must be someone in England who knows where he is.
Well, there's his bank, of course, and his sister, Ida. We've tried them both.
Yeah, without success, I fear.
His sister?
Yes. Mrs. Roche runs an antique shop in Dartmouth.
It's very kind of you to be giving me lunch.
Well, why shouldn't I? Haven't been in Dartmouth since I was at the Naval College. I'm celebrating.
Sweet, sir.
Oh, then, come along. How about this magnificent array?
Oh, no, I couldn't possibly eat any more.
Well, go on, have some of that cream pudding. Then we can have a glass of Barsac to go with it.
Oh, no.
All right, well, let's compromise with the fruit salad, then.
Well, all right.
We can still have the Barsac.
I have got to be in my shop this afternoon.
Well, that's all the better. You'll sell that Minton dessert service in a flash. And we'll have half a bottle of Barsac.
Very good, sir.
Thank you.
Do you know Peter well?
That's difficult to say. I knew him for only a short time, but yes, we got on well.
I'm glad, bearing in mind the history.
Well, strangely enough, when I first met him, I felt no hostility. And your brother is a very likable man.
Our father must have seemed like a monster to you.
Perhaps when I was a boy.
His methods of taking over your father's company weren't exactly scrupulous.
No, but one grows up. The hate can't last forever.
The wine, sir.
Ah, thank you.
Madam, thank you.
Yes, I got on well with your brother, and that's all that matters.
Yes, I think it is.
Now, you said you'd expected they want to make him a director. Why?
Because he'll be 30 in a month's time.
What difference does that make?
My father left the shares to him. on condition that he couldn't sell them till he was 30.
I see.
117,000 of them. Nearly all his holding in Strode & Company. Oh, that's the parent company. It controls Strode Orient.
Yes, I see. So Peter, or whoever owns his shares, has a big slice in the control of the lot.
Nearly half.
And that's why brothers Henry and George are so anxious to get into the fold in case they lose their comfortable jobs.
Of course. Until now, they've been quite prepared for him to starve. There's been no dividend for years.
Yes, I know. I'm another holder of Strode shares. I inherited them from my mother, all that was left of the crash.
Rather a lot of people seem to be making nothing out of Strode.
Oh, you too.
I've got some shares. Not nearly as many as Peter.
Do you ever hear from your brother?
Oh, yes. We've always been very fond of each other.
Mm-hmm.
Probably because we had an unsettled childhood.
I see.
My mother was half French and much younger than Father.
Yeah.
The marriage didn't last. I think Father hated us after that. He got the four children of his first marriage, that's Henry and George and the two girls,
yes,
back to the house in Hunstead. I remember once Peter came home from school. He was 12 at the time. He's 3 years older than I am.
Mm-hmm.
And he found his room taken over by his brother George. He had been pushed up into the attic. He walked out of the house in a rage. He was missing for over a week. Eventually, the police found him on an East Coast barge.
Will you take your coffee on the terrace, sir?
Yes. We'll be out in a minute.
I'm telling you this because I don't want you to have any false hopes.
Uh-huh.
You're wasting your time going to Peter with a proposition like this. He'd never accept anything from Henry and George. He hates their guts and everything they stand for.
Why doesn't he fight them? What's he running away from?
It's pride, I suppose. There's a lot of his father in Peter. Perhaps you're right. Maybe all his life he's been running away. I don't know. But he'd never sit on a board of directors run by those two. There's too much bad blood. And it's none of his fault. They behaved abominably, and so did Father.
Well, he gave Peter a huge holding in the business.
To save death duties. At least that's what he told me when he gave me my share.
Well, he could just as easily have given his shares to the sons who were in the business.
That's true. Perhaps he'd got their measure by then. Didn't concern me much at the time. I was just married. Now my husband's dead, I'm much more interested.
Your husband's dead?
Yes. Philip died in a car crash 2 years ago and left nothing but bad debt. He was that sort of a man. He'd have run through my Strode shares if he'd been able to.
Well, I'm glad he couldn't. Do you know, we're both in the same boat. My wife died last year.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's right.
Have you any children?
Yes, two.
You're lucky. I haven't any.
Well, what have you decided? Will you give me Peter's address?
I don't know it.
But I gather he wrote to you pretty regularly.
He never gives an address. I've no idea what he's doing, but I think it's something rather special.
Will you tell me where his last letter came from?
I don't even know that. They're always sent through his solicitor. He's the only person who knows where Peter is.
The solicitor? That's the first I've heard of him.
Oh, his name's Turner. He's rather a sweet old man. His offices are in Holborn. I'll give you his address. Whether he'll tell you where Peter is, I don't know.
Well, I can only hope.
Shall we go and have coffee?
Yes. It's rather pleasant on the terrace. Looks out over the estuary.
You must know it well.
Sure, every inch of it.
There's something eternally fascinating about ships.
Do you think so?
Well, there always has been for me. And the company. I think it must be in my bones. If you can find Peter, give him my love. And tell him I'm not selling my shares.
Neither am I.
It's a deal?
I hope so.
So, you want to go out there and talk to Peter?
I wonder why. What's your motive?
Well, if I'm successful, Mr. Turner, I'll get a job in Strode Orient.
The human mind is more complex than that. It's not the job you're after.
I tell you,
that's
the...
you may believe it, but deep down, you wouldn't remember. But it was a bitter struggle. I was a young man then. Young to have a man like Henry Strode for my client.
Did you know my father?
No, I met him twice. They weren't pleasant meetings. Your father was tough. Quite as tough as Henry Strode. But in a different way. How tough are you, Bailey?
I don't know.
No, you probably don't. But it's something I have to consider.
Oh, damn it, I'm only asking for his address.
But that's just what he doesn't want anybody to know.
Can't there be an exception?
Possibly. But I want you to understand. At a time when the smell of decay was in the air, I helped Peter's father to build up a great merchant adventuring business. I've lived to see it virtually destroyed in less than a decade. All I'm left with is a young man whose only thought in life is to travel. But still, he's his father's son.
Isn't this the opportunity you've been waiting for?
Possibly. I think I should tell you that Peter has had an offer for his shares.
Ah, what's his reaction?
I cabled him that in my opinion he would be disposing of what remains of his heritage and that he would regret it all his life. I haven't had a reply.
But can't I help to persuade him?
If I can trust you. But suppose you are working for the other side, these property dealers who have no other interest but a quick profit. Hmm?
I'm not.
No, I don't think you are. And as a director of the firm, he would be able to influence decisions. Yes. I've been expecting them to make a move like this. I think perhaps Peter has been too. I'll write down his address for you.
Ah, you won't regret it.
Then I hope not. Here it is. Yeah. 24 Battery Road, Singapore 1.
No.
Why are you surprised?
Well, I've just come from Singapore.
Well. You asked for Charles Legrand. That was his mother's maiden name.
Why isn't he using his own name?
Oh, I have no idea. Strange fellow, Peter, you know. Secretive. But I've great hopes. So, you've just come back from Singapore, hmm? Well, you're going back there, Commander Bailey, with my very best wishes. Yes, I have great hopes.
Mr. Alexander? Yes? I'm looking for a Mr. Charles Legrand.
Yes?
His employers tell me he's just gone on leave.
Yes.
He was going on a sea trip, but they don't know where. As you're the agent for Strode Orient, I thought I'd ask you whether he's booked with you.
Might come to us. We have plenty of other lines.
I've already tried them. Now, he probably joined the ship about a week ago. Did you have a sailing then?
Yes. The Strode Venture.
Where was she bound for?
The Maldives. To Abu Atoll.
And is it a regular service?
Yes. But the Strode Venture is a cargo vessel. She carries no passengers.
I've come from the Strode London office. I have instructions to find Mr. Lecron. He might be on board as a guest of the captain.
Captain Deacon is not the sort of man to encourage guests.
Well, he may have shipped as a member of the crew.
There is nobody of that name among the crew.
May I see the list, please?
I don't know whether
I have direct instructions from Mr. Henry Strode, and I carry his authorization.
If you insist. Would he have shipped as an officer?
Well, I doubt whether he'd have the qualifications.
It is a Chinese crew.
I'd still like to see the list.
There you are.
Thank you.
You find a name you are looking for?
No. But among the Chinese crew, I find the name of Strode, Peter Strode. You knew Mr. Strode was on board?
One of the staff engaged the crew in the presence of a mercantile marine officer.
Yes, of course, but you know very well who he engages. You must have known that this was a member of a family. How long will the voyage take?
About a week.
And exactly when is she due to arrive?
This evening.
And when does she leave?
That depends on the RAF. How quickly they unload her.
Thank you, Mr. Alexander. I'll get in touch with the RAF here and see if they'll fly me up to Gan.
Good day.
Good day, sir.
Do you know anything about Abu Atoll?
Not a thing.
Looks like a huge RAF aircraft carrier stranded on a coral reef. So that's just the island of Gan, of course, not the whole atoll. It's the finest natural harbor you've ever seen. I believe it was used a lot during the war.
Yes, I realize that. I picked up some sharks in Singapore, the whole 500-mile chain of islands. It says that the Aduans are great navigators and traders.
I think the only thing they explore is dried fish and cowrie shells. And the state of existence for what they can harvest from the sea. The soil's pitiful. Visibility's bad tonight, but you can see Abu Atoll now.
And there's that cluster of red lights.
Yes. We're just over the lagoon.
Well, I don't see any sign of the ship I have to visit. The Strode Venture.
It could be a bit further out in the lagoon. There's plenty of it. The Strode Venture?
Uh-huh.
Have you been on it before?
No.
It's a battered old tramp from Three Island Side. She's an odd vessel.
In what way?
Oh, I don't want to spoil your first vivid impression of her. Do our people know you're coming?
Oh, yes.
Well, the Ad will probably be down to meet you then. We'll be able to fix up for you to be taken out in the launch straight away. But when you've been on board, I think you'll understand it. We're all a bit curious about your visit.
I want to see Captain Deacon.
Sorry, sir. Captain not seen anybody.
Well, he'll see me. That'll be his cabin there. I know these ships well. Captain's cabin's always below the wheelhouse.
Sir, Captain not to be disturbed. He gave orders.
Don't worry. I'll tell him I insisted.
But he's lying down, sir.
Captain Deacon?
What? Who are you?
Commander Bailey from the London office.
Well, what do you want?
I want to see one of your crew, a name of Strode.
Strode, is he?
Yes. Peter Strode, he's on board, and I...
What do you want with him?
Well, just a word, that's all.
A word with him, and you say you're from the London office? It's got nothing to do with London if I ship his crew.
A member of the Strode family, you must have realized.
If a man wants to live his own life, he's entitled to, isn't he? I'd have given him my own cabin if he'd wanted it. I did it once before when he came on board half dead with fever. What the hell's he got to do with London if he insists on shipping his crew?
Nothing. They don't even know he's here.
Why are you here, then? What's your position with the company?
I'm acting for the chairman of the board. I have full authority.
Oh, I don't doubt that. But it's my memory. Plays me tricks. I mean, so many men, all types, are seeing you. Time passes.
I'm waiting to see Strode.
Well, up to him, I suppose. Mr. Fields! Mr. Fields is my first officer. Ah! Mr. Fields, is Strode still on board?
I don't know. I think so.
We'll find out. What did you say your name was?
Bailey.
Well, tell him there's a Commander Bailey from the London office wants a word with him.
You want to know what it's all about, won't he?
Just tell him I'd like to see him for a moment in private.
Well, get on. Get moving. Your name's Bailey.
Yes.
Sure. Have a drink.
No, thanks.
I think I'll have one. Yes. Time passes. I was over the job of third officer in one of the cracked pier boats once, turned it down. Some idea of loyalty to Strode. I was the youngest first officer then. I had some trouble once when I was working for another line, court of inquiry, endangering my ship. Had the wrong owners then. Nobody backed me up.
Have you been at sea all your life?
37 years. And I ended up working with a bunch of Chinamen. Early in the war, I was torpedoed in the Malacca Strait. I beached my ship in Sumatra and spent 4 years in a Jap prison camp. Well, afterwards, everything was different. New ships, new men. Trade all gone to hell. And suddenly, I was too old. And this ship, she's too old. I'll tell you something. One of these days, this old bitch is going to lie down and die on me. She's patched in a dozen different places. And in the sea, I have to keep the bumps going. Tell that to the directors in London. If we ever hit a real storm...
Bert said he won't see you.
Did you give him my name?
Oh, yes.
Where is he?
I don't know where
the... All right, Mr. Fields. Take the commander to him. Let Strode tell him to his face.
I said I didn't want to see you. How did you know where to find me?
Hello, Strode. Do you remember me?
Oh, yes, I remember you. You better have this letter. It's no use to me. You can tell my brothers I'll consider their proposition when I get back to Singapore.
I've seen your sister. She wanted me to tell you
that... Look here, Bailey, I know who you are. I know the company's history as well as you do. What are you after?
I'm not after anything. I'm just doing a job for the chairman.
They're worried, aren't they? About the future.
Well, they'd rather have you on the board than run the risk of being taken over.
Did you know someone's after my shares?
Yes.
And if I sell, they'll liquidate.
Very probably.
Yes. Where do you come into it? I'd have thought you'd want to smash the company.
Don't be absurd.
What are you getting out of this?
A job.
Sir Reginald Bailey's son working in Strode House.
If I wanted to smash the company, I'd be selling my shares. I'm not.
Why, aren't you?
Your sister's not selling hers either. You've got a choice now. Sell your shares or stop running away and join the board.
I don't have to do either.
No, but it's time you made up your mind.
So, I'm running away, am I?
I think you've been running away all your life.
My father said that to me once. I'm sorry, Bailey. I should have remembered the sort of person you are.
I'll talk anyway. The situation isn't quite so straightforward as you think. You see...
Ah, this boat's coming for me.
Do you want to come with me?
Where?
Oh, one of the islands.
Well, there's an RAF launch picking me up.
Let it wait. Once you're on Gan, you'll be stuck there. The islands are out of bounds to service personnel. Oh, there's no need for you to know that yet, and... Oh, there's something I want to show you.
Very well.
This is one of the islanders' big inshore boats, Bondo Doni. With a good sailing breeze like there is tonight, we'll be there in under an hour. Yes, there's something I'd like you to see.
So this is Meidu.
Yes. What did you think of the trip?
Oh, perfect. These people know how to handle a sailing boat.
Oh, they're splendid navigators. Just before I take you in to see Don Mansur, I want you to look at something. Under all that thatch over there.
Uh-huh.
Do you know anything about the political situation here?
No.
Of course you don't. The people on Addu Atoll have always been different from the rest of the inhabitants of the Maldives. The Aduans are the great boat builders and traders. But the little they've been able to export has always had to be sold through Male. That's the Sultan's capital, 300 miles north of here. The Male government doesn't give a damn for the welfare of the Aduans. They're exploited, they've no proper diet, the rate of TB's much too high.
Well, hasn't the RAF, being here, helped?
Oh, a little. They employ 700 of them. Yes, the RAF have done a good job. They give them medical supplies and so on. But these people need trade, something permanent they can rely on. What happens when the RAF go?
Well, there's no question of that.
Not yet. Some transport aircraft are already overflying Gan. 2 years ago, the Aduans set up as an independent people's republic. A couple of gunboats were sent down from Male, and if it hadn't been for the RAF, there'd have been a bloody massacre. The Aduans are still free, but they've had to pay a high price for their freedom. Now, have a look in here.
What is it? Looks like some sort of a longhouse.
No. The thatch covers a boat. They have these boats laid up all over the island.
It's like a small dhow. What is it, 200-300 tons?
Yeah, something like that. They use a variation of the calabash with its water horizon as a sextant. They have no engines in these boats. Just sail. Put your hand on the stern post. What do you think?
Well, the surface is very rough and tired. Exhausted with the heat of the sun.
They've all been laid up for 2 years. Another few years and they'll never go to sea again. As a sailor, doesn't it make your heart bleed?
But why?
Come along to Don Mansur's house. I want you to see the way they live. The sort of people they are. You'll see why I want to help them. They have the skill to build these boats and the techniques to sail them. I want to find them something to trade in. Give them new spheres of influence. The Aduans are the greatest people in the Maldives. They ought to be the most successful. Let's go. And you ask Don Mansur why these boats are laid up.
It is piracy, Commander Bailey. All Aduan people fear piracy from the Maldivian government. The Sultan's men have motor launches and machine guns. Our ships have sails and no guns. So we can do nothing, only lay up our ships and pray to Allah.
And Don Mansur is probably the greatest navigator in Adu.
I have sailed many times to Ceylon.
And other places?
That is right, Peter. Some other places also. Allow me the pleasure of asking my wife to bring you another drink, Commander Bailey.
Oh, thank you. No, I must get back. The RAF will be wondering what's happened to me.
I thought it best to bring him here first, before they stopped him coming to Meddu at all.
I would like to stay, Don Mansur. And I like this drink.
We make it from Fan, from the palm trees.
Well, it's delicious.
And I am most honored to have you visit my house.
It's been very interesting.
Though I fear our entertainment must of necessity be poor.
It may not always be so.
No. We hope. And you see, Commander Bailey, we have great faith in Peter and what he may do for us, which is why we are so delighted he brings such an honored guest from the British Navy. Now, please allow me to get you another glass before you leave.
Well, yes, Don Mansur, thank you, I will.
A great pleasure, Commander.
As soon as you've had your drink, you'd better get back to the boat.
Well, aren't you coming?
I don't think so. I have a meeting now. If I get their agreement, I shall stay.
What answer do I take back to your brothers?
Huh? Oh, are you flying back to England?
Yes.
When?
Well, I don't know yet. In a few days.
Well, tell them I'll discuss it when I get back to London.
When will that be?
A month. Maybe two.
The Strode Venture is bound for Aden next. Now, from Aden, you could fly to London and be there in a week.
No.
Well, what is there here on this atoll that's more important than the thing you've been working towards for 3 years?
People. I've spent my whole life looking for somewhere to put down roots.
And you found it here?
There's an opportunity here. A chance to build something for the future. And if George and Henry don't take it, well, I'll face that when it comes.
Your glass, Commander.
Oh, thank you.
What do you think, Don Mansur? Shall we tell him?
I am willing.
Right. Don Mansur isn't only a brilliant navigator, he's a very brave man. Last year, he had a crack at running the blockade the Malay government have put around his people. Down here on the equator, storms aren't very common. Not really bad ones, anyway. But he hit one. Go on, you tell him.
I was carried into an area where I had never been before. Perhaps no one has. It is off the track of all shipping and of any routes aircraft take, even the aircraft of the Royal Air Force.
Yeah, an undiscovered island,
perhaps. Do you know anything about minerals?
Very little.
Look at these.
Oh, they're lumps of ore.
Yes. Strange, isn't it? Here's a people desperate for independence, and these little fragments could be the answer. For them, and for me. For you too, perhaps.
Mm-hmm. I brought specimens, you see, back from this this island. And at first I kept them to show only as something strange.
Something strange?
Yes, you've heard there's been evidence recently of submarine volcanic activity in the Indian Ocean.
Yes, isn't there a seismological survey of the Indian Ocean being done this year? If you waited...
Wait!
You could...
I'm not waiting a day longer than I have to. This international survey includes the Russians as well as us. If I wait for them, I shall have missed the chance of a lifetime.
It was Peter who understood the value to us. He has had the ore analyzed. It is high-grade manganese.
About 45%.
For which there's a ready market?
Yes, in Britain, Germany, and in any half a dozen European countries. But I must have confirmation, and I must have that before the international survey found it. Now, Bailey, I got Don Mansur to agree to our telling you all this because, well, God knows why, I trust you.
Well?
I'll make my decision now. It's in your interest that I agree to become the director of Strode so that you can get a foot in the door of the firm, right?
Yes.
Yes. Then my offer is this. Say nothing of what we've told you, and especially keep dead mum to the raft types on Gan. Get back to Singapore as soon as you can, and then cable London.
All right. I agree.
There's no need to hurry booking your flight back to London.
Right. And when will you be back?
Don't keep asking me that. How can I tell? What do you say, Don Mansur?
From what I know of Peter, Commander Bailey, I think he will return to London when it is in the interest of the Adwan people for him to do so.
In all my years of shipping, I never heard of such monstrous behavior. I wish you'd come back to London sooner, Bailey. You might at least have been some help to us. The Strode Venturer was due in Aden on the 3rd of April. It's now the 10th. She's still not arrived. You know where she is?
No.
You saw Peter. You talked to him. You must have some idea.
None whatever. Surely you've had some sort of radio contact with her.
Well, of course we have. We've asked cable and wireless to contact her, inquiring the reason for delay. Here's the reply. Date of arrival, Aden uncertain. Charterers have agreed sub-charter Strode Venturer to us for maximum period 1 month. Am engaged vital exploration, little known area, Indian Ocean. Will explain on arrival, London. And you see who signed it?
Yes, Peter Strode.
Alexander says he agreed to the sub-charter because you told him that Peter was now a director. Did you tell him that?
Yes.
Why?
There was nothing confidential about it. You'd announced at the meeting that he was being offered a directorship.
No, that's true, I suppose. But what in God's name is Peter doing signing cables from the Strode Venturer? I've ordered Deacon of Dirty Ship round, make for Aden at once. If he doesn't, he'll be fired. And if I thought you'd encourage...
May I suggest, sir, that my instructions were to find your brother and persuade him to join the board. I've done that.
Oh, yes, indeed. You've found him. You've done what we asked. Well, now we must find you an office and give you something to do. Would you like to start straight away?
Well, I have a private appointment this afternoon, but otherwise I can start at once.
Right. Tomorrow morning, then. You seem to be ushering in a rather unsettling era for us, but, oh well, things may settle down soon.
Very interesting, Commander Bailey. How lucky you got my message so promptly at Strode's. You had no awkward inquiries about why I should want to see you, I trust?
No, I told them that I'd found Peter through you. There's no reason why we shouldn't be in touch.
No, of course not. You know, it was never money that interested Peter. What you have told me merely confirms my assessment of him. Now that I have reached the end of my life, I am better able to appreciate the real values. Money must always be the servant, the means to something that you really believe in. This business of the Strode Venturer. Now, you met Deacon, did you?
Yes.
Deacon would never have agreed to do this for money. You can't buy men like that. Did you know that Deacon was one of your father's officers?
I had a feeling he might have been.
He took to drink, I believe. Well, you can't blame him. He had a rough deal. Well, I don't pretend to know what Peter is up to, but... When do you expect him back?
A month, perhaps longer.
A month, eh? Even that may be too late. My doctor says... The body, it's only a mechanism. I've worked mine pretty hard. It tires eventually.
Well, I must go.
No. I was not ringing for you to be shown out, but for someone to be shown in.
Ah, Ida.
I'm sorry to have kept you waiting, my dear, but I wanted to have a word with this young man first. You know each other, I think?
I certainly do, yes.
Have you told her about your meeting with Peter?
Yes.
Oh, he telephoned me as soon as he got back.
Good, then I needn't go over that. Now, I don't get about much these days, but I still have my contacts in the city. I've kept in touch with Strode Affairs, on account of Peter, you understand, my dear?
Well, of course. You've always been wonderful in looking after our interests.
Thank you, Ida. Well, I've tried. Now, you both know the present situation. Strode and Company control Strode Orient, so it is the shares of the parent company which are vital. A group of people have been buying shares in a bid to take over the company.
The same group who offered for Peter's and mine?
That is so. They will not now succeed.
How do you know?
Because over the last year, I too have been buying heavily. Between us, Ida, Peter, you and I now virtually control Strode and Company.
I see. So, the future
the future, yes. That is the point. I have just been indicating to Commander Bailey how limited my own future is. Now, Bailey, I have seen you only once before, and my contacts with your father were in trying circumstances. And since you were here a few weeks ago, I have instituted inquiries about you. You've been bred to the sea, and though there is nothing in your record to suggest that you have more than average initiative, you seem to be a very reliable man. I have therefore added a codicil to my will. The shares I own in Strode & Company will pass to you at my death.
But I'm giving you
what I hope amounts to the final control of Strode & Company in the event of a showdown between Peter and the others. It seems to me that you're the right man for this particular job, and I thought there was a certain justice in it being taken by the son of the founder of the original company.
Yes, but why don't you leave the shares to Peter? I don't understand, sir.
I do. I think it's wise.
Now, I must ask you both to leave. I've had a busy day. I'm glad you understand, Ida.
Is there anything we can do for you?
No, my dear, nothing. Just remember me once in a while when I'm gone. I'm not certain, not yet. But I think perhaps it helps to be remembered sometimes.
He knows he's dying. He's been in our lives always, a sort of rock. Something solid to cling to when we were in trouble. I shall miss him.
Yes, of course you will.
Thank you for suggesting a drink. I needed this.
Well, I was feeling a bit stunned myself. Cheers.
Cheers. Where's Peter now, do you think?
Well, God knows.
All these plans, and Peter may be lost in that dreadful old ship, stuck on some uncharted island in the middle of the Indian Ocean.
I think Peter's too live a person. He won't get sunk without trace before he's even started.
I hope he doesn't make a fool of himself.
Why should he?
That's where you come in.
Hmm?
Mr. Turner knows Peter's weakness. He's like me. He can be terribly impulsive. He once told me all his travelling was done like that. Somebody in a bar, a ship in harbour, the signpost beckoning. He doesn't plan, he acts. That's why he'd left you all those shares. You're my brother's keeper now, you realise that?
I don't see he needs one.
Everything he does has always fascinated me. But there's a sort of crazy streak in Peter.
Well, there was nothing unstable in the way he was organizing those islanders on Meidu.
It's not so much that he's unstable, but there's something theatrical in his makeup. He's flamboyant. He gets carried away by his enthusiasm. What do you do now?
Well, find somewhere to live, get stuck into an office at Strode's, go and see my children.
I must go back to Dartmouth. But I've an idea that when Peter gets back, he'll need all the help he can get. I think I'll come up to London for a time. The sparks will start to fly with the brothers, you know. Whatever it is he's planning, which you won't exactly tell me.
I'd rather Peter did that.
I know. Well, whatever it is, he's not going to find it easy with them.
I'll telephone you in Dartmouth, then, as soon as we hear he's hitting London.
I wish you would. I look forward to that.
I'll be ringing, anyway, letting you know how things are going.
Good.
You know, we've been drawn together.
By a web of circumstance?
That and something else.
I couldn't stand that office a moment longer. I'm glad you got a flat, Bailey.
Well, best I could get in a hurry, and it's central.
And I do as well, to get us a cup of coffee.
Is that all you think about?
What? Oh, no, of course not. Wonderful to see you. But
you
anyway.
Can't duffel bag your entire luggage, Peter.
Yes.
Your clothes are dreadful. You can't go about London like that.
Oh, I'll buy something. You can come and help me.
That's a promise. I shall keep you to it.
But look what I've got in my duffel bag.
Hmm?
Manganese. The first consignment.
From your island?
Well, if you can call it that. It was the bed of the Indian Ocean, really. Never seen anything like it. All grey slime and weed and the empty cases of shellfish and stinking like a dirty harbour at low water.
How big is it?
Oh, about 3 miles by two. It's just a dead, decaying mass brought up from the ocean bed 1,000 miles from anywhere.
Mm-hmm. Volcanic?
Well, I suppose so, originally.
Have you a photograph of it?
No, I didn't have a camera. Neither did any of the crew. Just as well, we don't want anyone else out there searching for it.
Well, the crew must have known what you were up to, bringing off samples.
They were scared stiff, most of them. A strange atmosphere about a hunk of land that's just emerged from the sea. Something primeval. And the crew wouldn't have known about geology. They thought I was crazy.
Anyway, they know where it is and they'll talk.
They'll talk, yes, but they don't know where it is.
How come?
There were only two sextants on board and I got a hold of them before we sailed. I had Don Mansour with me and his reckoning of the position was pretty vague. I started a square search. I saw that nobody but myself kept a track chart.
So only you know where it is?
Well, that's how I want it. There's millions of tons of this stuff there for the taking. The surplus of shipping and the eastern countries taking over our traditional cargo, it'd make a difference to have our own freight source, wouldn't it?
Well, of course. This is just what Strode's have needed for years.
Yeah. And I didn't just bring back this bag of ore. I had number four hold half filled with the stuff. I'm getting samples away to a long list of industrial firms.
Even the brothers must see that this is a godsend for the company.
Oh, they don't.
What?
I've talked to Henry already. He won't touch it. The stupid fool can't see further than the nose in front of his face.
We must do something at once. Well, I think Peter should go and see Mr. Turner.
The shares?
Let Mr. Turner explain all that, if he wants to. He's a wily old bird. He may think of a better plan. But whatever he advises, I have an idea that Peter will go back to Brother Henry with something to shake him rigid.
Nice office you've got, Henry. Fitted carpets from ear to ear, eh? Merchant adventurers operate in comfort these days. Did our father, do you think?
You haven't been making things a bit comfortable for us these past few days, Peter.
Oh, haven't I? I thought I'd rather splendidly kept clear of the office.
The company you've been keeping is most unsuitable for a director of Strode.
Oh, my lunch with Slattery, you mean? Got wind of that, did you?
Well, you seem to us to be making every effort to make it known. You know, of course, that Slattery has been at the center of the attempted takeover bid.
Oh, yes. He made the original offer for my shares.
Now that you're a director, you can't sell them without our agreement. I imagined you'd forgotten that. So you see, you were wasting your time. And it didn't look well. George was most distressed.
I bet he was. It's his turn to retire from the board of Strode & Company in a few weeks, isn't it? He expects to be re-elected, of course.
Oh, George's re-election, like my own, has always been a matter of routine.
Ah, but if I use the voting rights my shares carry, and one or two other people agree with me, we could elect, Slattery. Now I've got into the way of these little city lunches, I thought I might make...
Before you say anything, Peter, and this was the reason I asked you to come into the office today, I have to tell you that George and I have reconsidered the matter and decided that Strode Orient should accept responsibility for a pilot operation in the Indian Ocean. We could offer you the Strode Trader, now laying up in Bombay. And financially... I asked you to come into the office today. I have to tell you that George and I have reconsidered the matter and decided that Strode Orient should accept responsibility for a pilot operation in the Indian Ocean. We could offer you the Strode Trader, now laying up in Bombay.
and financial support up to £10,000.
Thank you very much. Just exactly what I asked for originally. Oh, nobody cares a damn till you frighten them. What a place. I can't wait to get back among people I understand. But the Strode trader... Can I have Deacon again?
No, it's only a younger man. No, Reese, a very good record.
I'd rather have Deacon.
I'm sorry, Reese is already appointed. He's young, very keen. We'll have no trouble with him at command.
All right. I'll get off to Bombay at once. I assume Bailey will be available.
Oh, yes.
Well, he can follow. It'll be a good deal to organize here.
How's it been today?
Oh, not too bad. As it was my last day in the office before I leave, Strode's were slightly less lethargic than usual.
They've been disgraceful.
Yes.
They agreed to back the Indian Ocean Venture, as they call it, and they've given you no encouragement at all.
Do you know, I don't know what I would have done these last weeks if it hadn't been for you.
I've got some pui fi mei to go with the salmon tonight.
That sounds great.
Did you manage to fix the bulldozer firm?
Oh, yes. Their Bombay agents are delivering to Peter tomorrow. And I don't just mean you coming round to the flat each evening to get us supper. I've never known anyone like you, as interested in the enterprise as getting the right wine to go with the salmon.
I love the business. I was brought up with it. All these difficulties would never have happened if there'd been anybody at Strode House to succeed my father. A man with real drive.
Well, I agree that Henry doesn't quite fit that bill.
Geoffrey?
Yes?
Why shouldn't I come too on this trip?
Oh, to Bombay, you mean?
And on the Strode Trader.
My dear girl, a ship plying around the Indian Ocean looking for a volcanic island is no place for a woman, certainly not.
I could telephone Peter.
He would say the same. I was talking to him today. I fixed the contract with the Dutch agent in Rotterdam for monthly deliveries of the ore starting on the 1st of August.
Fine. Did they insist on the penalty clause?
Yes, that's why I rang Peter.
And he agreed?
Of course.
Right. That's the real merchant venturer spirit. To gamble and then make sure you win. Did Peter say anything else?
Yes. I asked him how Reese was making out.
What did he say?
Well, apparently he's very efficient, but...
What?
Well, Peter said he couldn't quite put his finger on it, but in some way he thought he was too efficient.
Well, in 48 hours you'll be seeing for yourself. Damn you. Why shouldn't I come too?
You know what's happening to us, Ida?
Yes.
It's something we've both been through before, but, well... For me, it's happening all right.
Me too. Have you quite made up your mind about my not coming with you on the trip?
Quite.
If you don't let me, I shan't go back to my hotel tonight. I shall stay here.
Well, that won't make me change my mind.
Dear 120.
120, sir.
That do you? Yes. Have you worked out an ETA?
Not yet.
When can I have it?
Shortly.
I am not sailing my ship into an uncharted area, not for you or anybody else.
I'll let you have it tomorrow.
Tomorrow? Tomorrow by noon, then, or else. Otherwise, I stop engines. You've got the chart of this area locked away in your cabin, and the sextants, the chronometer, the navigation tables. Now, after 6 days at sea, I don't know where we are within 100 miles. I've had very nearly enough. You're not a qualified navigator. I'm steaming through the night.
Experience is more important than qualifications. You've been in wireless touch with head office, and they've cleared you to agree with me.
Yes.
I've navigated boats all over the world, and in and out of more islands than you've ever set eyes on. But I've more at stake than just this ship. You needn't be afraid I'll put her aground.
Tomorrow, then. By noon.
He's getting scared, sailing blind. And this atmosphere. One minute we're in a sort of a fog, and the next it's pitch black. And it's just as hot as ever.
Now, Reese isn't nearly so ignorant of our position as he pretends. The wireless operator picked up the aircraft beacon again on his DF. It gave him a position line.
Well, what's the point of all this secrecy?
That island belongs to Don Mansour and the Adwans. It's their one hope of survival. I'll do anything to keep its position secret until they've established a settlement there and claimed it for their own.
Mr. Strode, this atmosphere, was it like this before when you came here with the Venture?
No. It was hot and humid, but not like this. There's a lot of... electricity in the air tonight.
Well, I don't like it. There's no moon. We can't see a thing. I think there's going to be a storm.
Storms are very rare in this area. If you check the Met charts...
Ah, hell with the Met charts. They're generalizations. They're not specific to this area. I think we should eat two till dawn.
Oh, whatever for. You've empty sea for miles around.
How do you know? You've found one new island. There may be others.
Breakers ahead!
Breakers?
Breakers ahead!
Breakers? How can there be breakers?
There, man, there! Can't you see them? Straight over the bow!
Sir, stern!
Lower, stern!
Starboard helm!
Starboard helm!
Hard over, man!
Hard over, sir!
But there's no sound. What are they breaking against? Coral reefs?
There's no coral reefs there.
Oh, we're nearly on them. Full astern.
Full astern, sir.
I think it's the white water.
What's that? What do you say?
White water. They call it Ranamari. It's an optical illusion. I've never seen it, but I've heard about it. Don Mansur's seen it twice. Each time his crew were frightened to death.
You mean I'm frightened?
Not now. I think we all were for a minute.
I shall eat too.
Stop engines.
Stop engines.
Look, if you'll let me take over and steam through the night, I'll give you your ETA now. We'll be lying off the island by noon tomorrow.
I shall stay on the bridge.
All right. Now, shall we get back on course?
Slow ahead.
Slow ahead.
Steer 120.
120, sir.
I think I ought to call the captain, Mr. Stroke.
It's up to you. When does the officer of the watch call the captain? I don't know.
What's this?
Why wasn't I called?
Oh, I was thinking about it, sir.
Well, you should have thought quicker, Lenny.
What
the hell is it? It looks as though the sea's become suddenly diseased, like some fungus growth.
It's pumice.
There must have been a disturbance of some kind.
It's everywhere, spread for miles. How much longer do you expect me to drive my ship into an area that's clearly volcanic?
Not long. We're only a few hours sailing time from the island.
Yeah, well, all I hope is that we aren't anchored off the island when the old flipping log goes up.
Look, over here, Peter. There are bigger pieces.
They're like plates, aren't they? There must be millions of them.
We shall be out of it soon. It's clear ahead. There's something's been going on. Some sort of submarine activity. Suppose the island's disappeared. I'd look bloody stupid, wouldn't I?
Starboard bow, Captain Reed, sir. Fine and starboard bow.
Here, the clouds lifting ahead.
Yes. It's land all right. And black. Nothing growing at all.
Have the glasses, Mr. Strode. It's bleak enough. Like the back of a whale at this distance.
Yes. Yes, that's it. It must be.
What's the matter?
It's bigger. I can't tell until we're nearer, but I think it's at least twice the size it was.
Oh, gold, and I'm on the first landing party.
I'd like us to run in with the island bearing 034. On that course, it's all clear. No obstructions. We should be ashore before noon. Earlier than I thought.
No birds. Not a sign of a living thing.
Not here. That beach we landed on was useful. But we need to find some sort of natural key where we can bring the barge alongside for loading.
And for getting the gear on shore.
Yes. We're on the old part of the island now, of course.
What happens if it sinks below the surface of the sea again?
Oh, no. I talked to several experts in London. They were all agreed that if an island emerged in this area, it would continue to grow. Or at least that it would stay above the surface of the sea. The movement here is a slow one. It's nothing dramatic.
But can your Adwans survive in this desolation?
Look, they're not helpless. They're an intelligent and highly civilized people. And they're tough.
Well, they'll need to be. Isn't only that it's bleak. The island's got an atmosphere, a sense of deadness.
Not to them. Now,
Yeah? Just
over the top here, I'll show you something. There's a hollow about 50 feet across. Oh, there. See, it's a natural rain trap.
Three palm seedlings.
Yeah. They've grown since I was here last. They must be 5 feet high now.
Oh, it's incredible what water can do.
The most barren place on Earth can be transformed by a single rainstorm.
Yes.
See, here on the equator, there can be as much as 90 inches of rainfall in a year. Mm. There are half a dozen pockets of vegetation like this. As the surface weathers and the roots of the trees get a grip in it, the pockets will spread. A few years and there'll be tropical growth over quite a lot of the island. With the right seeds introduced now, it'll be like Adu Atoll, capable of supporting life.
You've got a vision of what it might be. I accept that. But will the Aduans see it?
You wouldn't ask that if you'd been with us before. Don Mansur stood in this little oasis, gazing around in wonder like a child. No, more like Cortes. The Aduans don't need any encouragement.
When are they coming?
Oh, God knows. Depends on a lot of things. Their president, their ships, and the wind. But when they do, they'll find a camp, stores, and equipment. And I reckon it'll take 3 days to get the stuff ashore.
Mm-hmm.
While they're doing that, we'll make a series of test boreholes with the portable drill. On the fourth day, we should be getting the first load of ore out to the ship.
Oh, this will water the palm trees.
Well, they'll just have got the last load into number three hole before the storm started. The barge will stay out there now.
Oh, it doesn't matter. We can go back in the runabout.
It may not last long. I'll stay on the island with my team. I'm glad we got the bunkhouse up for him.
It'll be bad tonight. The Lascars hate it.
Well, they're all huddled in the canteen now. Some of them are praying.
Well, time you two got back to the ship.
Well, why didn't you come as well?
Yeah, you could come back at first light.
No, I'm staying here on the island.
Oh, okay. I'll go and get the engine started. The rain's not quite so bad.
It'll be worse tonight. Wouldn't it be better if I stayed ashore with you?
Oh, no, I'd rather you were on the ship. I like to feel my line of retreat is quite secured.
Now, you don't trust Reese, do you?
Not really. When he said we ought to work a night shift, I could have hit him. Whatever that man suggests, I stop wondering what's behind.
Well, that one was easy. He wants to get away as soon as he can.
Come
on, Commander! All right, I must go. It's getting dark fast. Cheers.
Well, don't be seasick on the way back.
Right.
Trip takes so long. Nearly there, though, now.
Right.
Well, why did he have to anchor out so far?
He thought it was safer. I don't blame him.
Reese has got the jitters, you know. Oh, my.
Did you see?
What?
In that flash of lightning. The men at the bow, they're fetching her anchor.
My God, yes. That's why it's taken so long to reach her. She's broadside to the wind and ripping with it.
So they've got the anchor up. He's pulling out to sea.
Well, we can't go back now. The wind's against us. Can we make up?
The wind's taking us right onto the barge.
Oh, my God.
Look, we're going to crash against the side. We'll have to jump it. Catch the edge of the side. Now!
Right!
Now! Here!
Yeah.
Get hold of that cable.
Yes.
All right. Give you a pull.
Okay.
We made it. Hey, look out, Bailey!
The time?
About midnight, I should think. Thank the Lord you've come round.
How long have I been out?
3 or 4 hours.
I see. What happened?
You fell into the hold of the barge. We lashed alongside the ship.
What's that?
The trader's engine room telegraph.
What's he doing?
Beaming out to sea.
Why are we still on the barge?
Because I can't bloody well make contact with them.
Oh.
We're stuck here.
How long for?
Till dawn, I'd say. So they can see us.
Oh, my God. Have I broken any bones?
Oh, I don't think so. Just bashed your head on a bit of that flaming manganese ore when you fell.
Wait a minute.
Stop. Sorry, mate. Something about that.
The engine sounds different. What are we doing?
Slowing, I think.
Have you got Bailey up okay?
Yes, he's all right.
Oh, came the dawn. You've had a night, skipper.
We've got the fires out anyway.
Well, what happened? Why are we aground?
We are lucky the old ship didn't go up.
What's the damage?
3 dead, including Cummings. 4 injured.
Oh, God.
The whole electrical installation has been burnt out, but a day's work may get the main engines going. With jury rig steering from the tiller flat, we've got a chance.
Was there any arrangement for regular radio reports to the head office?
No, it could be a week before they think of instituting any sort of search. Then there's the question of our position. My estimate could be 200 miles out. I should never have agreed to navigating blind like that, with only one man knowing our position.
Well, you did. It's no good bellyaching about it now.
It's Stroh's fault. I knew this secrecy was a mistake. And now it may cost us our lives.
It's not only us, it's Strode and the men with him. You made no attempt to get them off.
There wasn't time, man. We were dragging.
The wind was from the east, and it was blowing off the island.
That doesn't mean a thing. Intense storms like that down here on the equator, they're circular. Once you're through the eye of it, the wind comes in from the opposite direction.
You could have sent in a landing craft to get them off.
What? Why should I risk men's lives? They were perfectly safe where they were. It wasn't they who were in danger, it was us.
You were in a hell of a hurry to get right out of the area, weren't you?
If I'd hove to a few miles off, we might have drifted anywhere. I thought it best to steer a set course. So many hours out, so many hours back.
Well, I suppose that sounds reasonable.
Yeah, excuse me, skipper. But do you notice the smell?
Yes, sulfur. Is something burning still?
Oh, no, not on the ship. But look! Out there, about 3 miles off.
What? It looks like bubbles of hot gas. It's the water were being lifted under pressure.
Pressure from the seabed.
Reese,
What course did you steer from the island?
We steamed south, 129 degrees.
You mean you were backtracking the course you went in by?
I thought it safer.
Well, how long for? Did you change course?
No, the same course for 4 hours.
4 hours on the same track. And when we went in, it was deep water.
Yes, and now we're aground, and there's evidence of volcanic action all around us.
I don't know about you, but I think the sooner we get out of here, the better.
I agree. If the tide's right, we should be able to float her off in 24 hours.
Well, we're clear, thank God.
All ahead!
All ahead!
Is this your course?
Yes.
You're not on the reciprocal of 129.
Nope. I'm heading for Gann.
For Gann? But the islands! You can't head for Gann, not yet. Not till you got Peter and the men off. You can't just leave them there.
My concern is for the safety of the ship. Anyway, I'm not abandoning them. They're ashore and they've got food for a month. Some rivets have gone on the starboard side. We're taking in water. Did you know that?
Are the pumps holding it?
At present, yes.
Look, Reese, I'm an executive of Strode Orient, and I'm ordering you now to head the ship back to the island and get those men off.
You've no power to give me orders on my own ship.
I suppose you're right. But then there's always the question of fitness to command.
What?
What would it look like as an inquiry?
Will you give me your instructions in writing?
Certainly, if you want it.
Very well, I'll alter course. It's your responsibility, remember? I'm glad you gave me those instructions in writing.
There must be something wrong.
Altogether, we've covered 500 square miles with visual sightings right in the area where the island should be. We've allowed more than amply for any possible variations through current or winds. There's not a trace of the island. It's gone.
It can't have gone.
Can't it? We're in an area of volcanic change, and you know it.
I don't know what we're in, but I do know there's something wrong.
Bearing in mind that we are shipping water and that I've a half-burnt-out ship, are you prepared now for me to set course for Gann?
Yes. I've no option.
Thank you. We may make it in 3 days. You'll fly straight back to London from Gann, I suppose?
London. Oh, my God.
I don't believe it. If Peter were dead, I'd know.
But Ida, the RAF have searched 250,000 square miles of the Indian Ocean. There's nothing there but sea. What more can anyone do?
I don't know. But I can tell you that Peter's alive. I'm certain of it.
Hmm?
And we need him desperately. You know the annual general meeting's the day after tomorrow.
Is it?
When the news of the discovery broke, there was tremendous press coverage, of course. Strode shares started to rise. With the other directors pushing them, Henry and George jumped on the bandwagon. But now, have you seen the papers today?
No, not yet.
The Air Ministry have announced that they've abandoned their search. They say there's no hope for the men on the island. Do you realize what'll happen now?
Yes, the shares will drop again, I suppose.
They're thinking of getting Slattery and one of his friends on the board.
Henry and George are ready for a takeover, you mean?
Of course.
Well, does it matter now?
Of course it matters. It's Peter's birthright I'm fighting for. And I know Peter's alive. When he first went to the island, it was in the Strode Venturer, Deacon in command. I think it would be worth talking to him. Could we get him to London?
But what's the point? Peter was as secretive then about the position of the island as he was with Reese.
But Deacon's a more experienced man than Reese.
Yes, he's also an alcoholic.
I know, but drunk or sober, a man who's been at sea as long as he has ought to have some idea where his ship was.
No, we've got to have some new evidence, something to throw at Henry before he'll agree to going on with what everybody thinks is a hopeless search.
Unless we do, it's the end of Peter. The end of Strode, and you ought to mind about this, the end of the last remnants of your father's company.
Wait a minute. Straker.
Who?
Hans Straker.
Well, who's he?
He's a man I met on the plane when I first came back to England. He's a seismographer. He knows about volcanic disturbances. I'll telephone him now.
And after you've seen this man, we'll go down to Strode House. I'm ready for Henry.
Yes. Now, here's the number.
Oh, I haven't told you. I've seen old Mr. Turner again. He's very ill, in a nursing home.
Oh, I'm sorry.
He asked me whether I was going to marry you.
What did you say?
That we talked about it. He seemed pleased.
Did he?
And he's made over those shares to you now. I told him you might be needing them sooner than he thought.
Did you? Why?
Don't you see?
Oh, just a minute. Hello? Yes. Is that the Oriental Club?
This island of yours. I recorded a pronounced tremor in the Indian Ocean somewhere south of Adu Atoll in April last year. That would have been when the island first appeared.
Do your instruments give you exact locations?
No. For that, you need recordings from a number of stations.
But the pumice and the water around us boiling like that.
An indication of volcanic eruption, but not severe. Now, if we turn to the charts of the last few weeks...
You mean you've been recording recently?
Oh, yes.
Can you record at this distance?
Oh, certainly. My instruments are very good. You have to remember that the Earth's crust is only about 50 miles thick. It's like a thin skin. It's only when the tension breaks that you get a major earthquake or eruption.
And you don't think that that could have happened in this case?
Definitely not.
Uh-huh.
For an island to disappear in a matter of days would constitute a major disturbance. Your island is certainly still there. And there is no reason why it should not remain permanent.
Well, thank you. I think I've got an interesting meeting ahead of me at Strode.
I'm sorry I can't give you an exact location. Have you considered that the island may contain other minerals besides manganese which might affect a ship's compass? Even aircraft, I believe, can be thrown off course by large iron deposits when flying low.
Oh, no, there was no iron in the ore samples, and Shackleton's are fitted with gyro compasses.
That's odd. But there is a mistake somewhere.
A mistake? How can there have been a mistake?
We don't know.
Surely,
but we've
Henry, you don't mean that Rhys had instructions to leave Peter on the island?
Oh, you must be overwrought.
I think it would have suited your plans.
What plans?
To bring Slattery and Wolfe onto the board.
My meetings with Slattery were merely preliminary feelers, contingency plans in the event of...
Of what?
Of the failure of the expedition.
Which you expected.
No, I hoped, of course, as we all did. But no one could pretend that the venture was certain to succeed.
And now it appears to have failed. You're ready to sell out.
You don't understand the position of the firm.
I do. That's why I'm determined that Peter shall be found.
I'm as grieved as anyone about Peter, but whatever this friend of Bailey's may say...
He has evidence that the island must still be there.
The RAF tell us that it is not.
I'm not satisfied. I want to make another trip with Deacon in the Strode Venturer.
Deacon is no longer employed by us.
What?
I dismissed him. He disobeyed orders from head office during Peter's first trip.
An old man who's been nearly his whole life with the firm? Where is he now?
Still in Aden, as far as I know.
The last place for him to find another ship.
And the Strode Venturer?
In Aden. We sent another man out.
He could be recalled.
And Deacon could be reinstated.
Really, I am prepared to concede, Ida, that you are distraught over the loss of Peter. But you, Bailey, you must remember that you are merely an employee of the firm, and I will...
I'm not. After Peter, I'm the largest shareholder in Strode and Company.
What?
Lawrence Turner has been buying shares heavily, and he's made them over to him.
Why? Heard rumors that Turner was buying, but go anyway with Peter presumed dead.
I don't presume him dead. And Mr. Turner says it will take time for you to have that legally accepted. And I hold the proxy for the votes his shares carry. If it comes to a showdown at your precious annual general meeting, we can outvote him.
So you can stop flirting with Slattery and his friends about a takeover. It's too late. The control of Strode and Company is now with Peter, Ida, and me. I suggest that you get in touch with Aiden at once, and that I fly out there in the morning. Mr. Fields,
yes.
Captain Deacon aboard?
You've caused enough trouble, you and that Peter Strode.
Would you mind taking me to his cabin, please?
Why should I? I sack him and throw him on the beach, then come along and say he's to be reinstated. What are you trying to do? Crucify him? A man needs warning after that sort of treatment. He needs an hour or two to get used to the idea that he's taking command again.
Do you mean he's drunk?
He's got a lot of worry, you see. Don't you understand what he's been through? Lying in a doss house thinking his life's over? What's it all about, anyway?
I arranged that he should be reinstated so that he can help to find the island.
Why?
Don't you listen to the radio? Strode and a dozen men are stranded on it.
Oh, so that's it. He's wandered again now. They've never given him a chance, the Strodes. He worked for your father, too. Did you know that?
Yes, I knew that. Why are you telling me this?
I just wanted you to know. You owe something to Harry Deacon. He hasn't had much of a life.
Mr. Fields, I want the Strode Venturer to leave as soon as possible for Gann. I've arranged with the agents to finish loading during the day. We could leave tonight. Can you take her out of Aden?
Very well. As long as Deacon says it's all right. We needn't tell the agents about him, need we?
No. And if you tell me where the island is... I won't have to wait for Deacon to surface.
I don't know where it is. Strode hid the sextants. He directed the courses and wouldn't let anyone near him when he was plotting them.
Well, where was Deacon? In the cabin?
No. He came up to the bridge every now and then, same as he always did. No reason why he should change his habits just because one of the Strodes was on board.
Do you mean he was drunk?
He's never drunk. not when we're at sea. But the captain doesn't have to be on the bridge all the time. He'll help you all he can, I know he will, but leave him a day or two, will you? Give him a chance, that's all I ask for him, that he should have a chance.
Seems a long time ago, too damn long. My mind's not clear. You don't mind me lying me, Bunk, do you? I still don't feel too good. Must have picked up with a fever in that damn place in Aden.
No, of course not. You stay where you are.
You've had pretty well all I can remember. What's it add up to?
Well, it's the course back that gives us the best picture.
Yeah.
I've got it all plotted on the chart now. First southerly, then westerly the first day, and the final approach to Addo Atoll from the south. Yeah. The intermediate variations on the course always being between 180 and 360.
What position does that give us?
Roughly 600 miles east-southeast of Gan,
yeah,
and nearly 250 miles northeast of the line the Shackletons flew on their way to and from the search area.
Well, where's the position Weiss gave?
Well, that's there. The distance between the two is just over 500 miles.
Weiss's position is 500 miles out?
Yes. As soon as I got this worked out, I radioed Gann. I just had this signal from good Captain Canning.
Mm.
Yeah. Now, he says little likelihood of resuming search unless we can give them clearer justification. He says we can discuss it when we arrive at Gann, but that Reese is satisfied the areas already searched covered the island's last known position.
And Reese is still at Gann, sucking up to the group captain, I suppose.
Oh, yes, he's still there. And Canning's final shot is... a volcanic action, still most likely explanation of failure to locate island.
Volcanic action, submarine pressures, yes, but that island wasn't a bloody volcano. It was a bit of a seabed, nothing more than that. Can I have a look at that signal again?
Yes, yes, certainly, yes.
Race. I never did trust Welshman. Justification, Canning says. What do you mean by that? The opinion of an Adwin wouldn't count, I suppose. Not with a man like Canning. The serving officer who's never had anything to do with them.
You're thinking of Don Mansour?
Yeah, well, he's been there twice, once in his own, once with me. But he knows about the stars. In his own way, he's a good navigator.
Well, I'll try and get hold of him when we reach Gann. But we must talk the RAF into another search.
Well, I'll leave that to you. Group captains aren't quite in my line. Well, that Reese.
It's very good of you to visit us so soon, Group Captain.
Not at all. I thought it best to come at once and bring Captain Reese with me.
Yes, of course. Captain Deacon will be joining us shortly.
I doubt whether he'll be much help.
I hope you didn't encourage them. I've done my best to stop the Adwins sailing their boats off into the blue.
Well, I've no chance. Don Mansour had already left and the others are hell-bent on following him.
I'm very concerned that they're risking their lives unnecessarily.
Well, you can't stop them. You're faced with something as inevitable as the migration of a bunch of lemmings. That island is important to them. So is Peter Strode. Now then, here is the chart I've been making. It's made from my investigations over the last few days, conversations with the officer and crew. Random observations, of course, but they all support the views of Captain Deacon.
Deacon? My God, man, are you serious? Deacon wouldn't have had a clue what he was, nor would the crew. I kept a note of all the courses steered. Compass courses, you understand.
I'm not suggesting that the position of the island I plotted here is accurate. But I must remind you that what we're discussing may mean the difference between life and death to the men on that island.
They're dead and the island's gone.
And why has Don Mansour failed?
Natives, they know nothing about navigation.
My information is that he is a skilled navigator.
But this position you've given us is 500 miles away from mine. Do you think I could make an error of navigation like that? If these natives want to kill themselves, that's their affair. It proves nothing. The shallows we grounded on were volcanic. You know that as well as I do. So was the island, in my opinion, all part of volcanic instability.
Then why didn't you make an attempt to get the shore party off?
I've explained all that in my report. My first consideration was for the safety of the ship.
Yes, I've read your report. It's very convincing. But if you thought that the island
was... You're trying to blame me for what happened. It's not my fault. It's Strode's. Taking the ship into an area like that. Anchoring it off a submarine volcano. He must have been crazy. If it hadn't been for me, the ship would have...
Ah, I've been looking for you, you dirty little Welsh bastard. You left the mare to rot. Why did you leave him there? If you were so bloody sure the place was going to erupt in your face.
I didn't think there was any immediate danger. It was the storm that concerned me then. I had to think of the ship.
Now look at the chart. You went to ground somewhere there. That's what you claim, isn't it?
Yes.
On the northern tip of a big area of shallows. Well, are you telling me those shallows wouldn't be visible from the air?
It's quite possible. The light out here can be very difficult, especially in the afternoon heat.
Oh, they missed the shallows because of the midday heat. But there's no excuse for missing an island, not with radar.
I don't think they did miss it.
It's disappeared. That's your point, is it?
Yes.
Very convenient, since your air crews have failed to sight it. You say it isn't there anymore. Why can't you admit you've been searching in the wrong area?
Because I don't think we have been.
Look here, Reese. Who told you to fix it so they were left to fend for themselves?
Nobody.
You're lying. I know when a man's lying. Somebody's got at you. Or it doesn't matter. It's not important at the moment. What worries Bailey and myself is those men out there in the middle of the Indian Ocean with nobody bothering to look for them anymore. Look, Captain Canning, you've searched one area and found nothing. What's the objection to searching where I think the island is? Don't forget, I've been to it too. And I say it's there. Somewhere in that area. Well, what do you say?
There's nothing I can say. A resumption of the search requires Air Ministry authority. Of course, if Captain Reese were in any doubt about his
I have no doubt whatever. Captain Deacon, are you accusing me of deliberately falsifying my position?
No, I can't do that.
The position I've given, gentlemen, is not exact, but it's reasonably accurate, I'll swear to that.
And you've made up your mind, good Captain. You won't fly a search in that area. Right. Mr. Fields?
I'm afraid it's out of my hands now. If you can put up a convincing case, then I'll be happy to pass it on to the Air Ministry.
Mr. Fields?
Yes, sir.
Clear the ship. Prepare for sea.
Aye, aye, sir.
If you're thinking of taking your ship into that area, I must warn you, Captain.
You can't stop me.
No, but you do it at your own risk.
What risk? I'm going 500 miles from where Reese said he was.
Yes, I see. At the same time, air sea rescue in the Indian Ocean is my responsibility, and I don't want any more trouble. You don't seem to understand what Captain Reese has been telling you. The volcanic activity may extend over a wide area.
What's that going to do with it, if his position is the wrong one? You're lying, Reese, about something, but I don't know what it is.
Watch it, Deacon.
Now, are you coming with us? And we'll see who's right, you or me?
No, let him stay here. You'll find out the truth whether he's with you or not.
Perhaps. But truth is not absolute. And the events that lead to a man's death can be very devious. Mr. Fields?
Yes, sir?
Man the helm.
Aye, aye, sir.
Are you coming ashore, Bailey?
No.
Well, I'll instruct my people to maintain radio contact.
And I'll notify Air Ministry, of course.
I'm sorry, Bailey. It's the best I can do under the circumstances.
Yes, I understand.
I wish you could persuade Deacon to hold off till morning.
Well, I can't. And I don't intend to try.
Neil! Why have you left the bridge? It's so... I can't!
Come on, you see
yourself. Harry! He's in his cabin! I can't wait him! He's always on the bridge in the storm! This time... He should never have had that last drink.
You must stay there.
If Deacon comes, that's all the reason why the crew mustn't bring you off the bridge.
It's no good. I can't take any more.
Come on, get up. All right, if you won't leave your own accord, I'll drag you up this ladder.
This bloody island is made nothing but trouble.
Suppose we run aground. We won't be anywhere near the fellows till dawn tomorrow.
The trader was lucky. She had cargo she could check it and... We're empty except for number two hole.
Now pull yourself together.
Don't get the helmsman to see you like this. Now
come on inside.
Oh, thank God he's here. Is everything all right?
Oh, it's you, Arthur. Squall, that's all. Very sudden. Nothing to worry about. I've reduced speed. See if all the pumps are working, will you?
Yeah.
Then check the hole. See how much water she's making.
Very well.
Where do you find him?
Beside number one boat.
It's his nerves. You can't blame him. Be a bad sea when the wind eases, I shouldn't wonder. It was in conditions like this, a sudden storm. It's a Reginald went.
My father, you mean?
Zimbisky, just after we passed the Amen Buoy about midnight. Came up very fast. It often does round ocean. There was a full moon, but the clouds had covered it. There was a weird half-light.
And my father?
I just come down from the bridge. He was alone in the saloon. I said I'd see him to his cabin. He'd been drinking a bit heavy, you know, and he got a bottle of whiskey under his arm. Kind of you, he said, standing very straight. But I'm on my own now. And Harry, he says, don't stop. Not for anything. Understand? That's the last I saw of him.
What happened?
I never knew for certain. One of the crew said he saw him leaning on the stern rail, staring down into the wake. My guess is that he just drank the bottle and let himself go over. This storm won't last. Tomorrow we'll be sitting here in our chairs, hardly able to keep awake.
I stood by the stern rail last night. I had a feeling of extraordinary confidence.
You're lucky.
The Shackleton's been in the area for half an hour now.
Has it? You see the echo sounder now?
Yes, 200 fathoms. We're in the shallows, all right.
Engine slow.
Engine slow. What's up?
We found bottom. Whatever it is, shoal or island, we're all right.
The lookout sighted what he thought was a whale.
Oh, yes.
If it wasn't a whale, it could have been a gas vent.
Don't worry, Arthur.
A message from the Shackleton.
Ah, thanks. Give it to me.
Sir?
Why is the Shackleton here?
It's on its way to Singapore. Canning diverted it on his own responsibility. It can't stay too long or it's going to have fuel problems.
Well, we can manage.
Ah, now the Shackleton's had a blip on its screen, quite a big one, almost due east of us.
Yeah.
Bearing from us is 110 degrees, 30 miles.
Well, if that's the island, the shoal bears about 230. Not 192, which was, of course, we steered.
The compass. And when we steered north again after the fire, we'd nothing to steer by, only the star.
Well, that's what I mean. His compass must have been out badly.
Right.
It must have been fixed, and we know who fixed it.
Yes, I'm afraid we do.
When he was alone on the bridge. He always was a wild one. What a thing to have done to you. And I accuse Reese of lying.
Well, you want to know. And anyway, if he wasn't lying, he was concealing something. Some sort of tacit understanding that if he had an opportunity to leave us there for a month, it didn't matter. Peter's half-brothers needed time.
I see. Reese, though, poor chap. Oh, I know what it's like to be under pressure from the owners.
No, this is from the Shackleton.
Ah, thank you. Ah, they've sighted the island. It's ours, all right. There are men waving to them.
Thank God.
And they've seen the area of shallows where the Strode crater grounded.
What's it bear from the island?
227 degrees.
A compass error as big as that doesn't happen by chance. He's like his father. No consideration for anybody once he's made up his mind to a thing. And he'll get more and more like him.
Yes, perhaps. Unless someone takes him in hand.
Anyway, he's got what he wanted. An island, a people of his own. He'll finish up with more power than his father ever had. New men, new ships. There was a time when I'd have enjoyed a fight. Not now. Not anymore. Mr. Field?
Yes, sir?
Keep her on course. Steam it slow through the night. He'll be off the island by dawn. Make straight for the anchorage, then put Commander Bailey off in the launch. You're not to delay, not under any circumstances.
Where the hell have you been, Bailey? What does Reese think he's playing at? Did you monkey about with the ship's compass?
Compass? Well, what's the compass got to do with it? We're half-starved. Fuel's almost exhausted. You've been gone damn near a month now.
If you fix the compass.
Oh, well,
you stupid fool. You nearly killed a lot of us. You've only yourself to blame.
Never mind about that. Where's the Strode trader been all this time?
That's not the Strode trader out there. It's the Strode venturer. When he took the trader out to sea, Reese thought he was backtracking on the course he came in by. Now, because of your work on the compass, he wasn't. He ran aground and damn near lost his ship. I mean, to fool about with the magnetic field of a ship's compass, it was crazy.
Yes, it was. I'm sorry, but it seemed the only thing to do at the time. I didn't trust Reese, and to have the position of the island known. Well, everyone knows where it is now, I suppose. At Shackleton.
Did you see Don Manso? Did he tell you when he was sailing?
He left by the time I got back to Maidu. But the last message we have from the Shackleton before she headed for Singapore was that they'd sighted two native craft 20 miles to the west of the shoal area. Now, I imagine they were Don Mansour's boats. With a good breeze, they may get here in time, but they haven't long. Well, what's the hurry? International law. They must get here first and plant their flag. Establish effective and continuing occupation.
As an Englishman, shouldn't you notify the Foreign Office?
If I asked them to take formal possession, it would have the status of a British colony.
And you want it for the Adwan?
Oh, yes. Don Mansour discovered it. It's their island.
Besides, if this place were annexed by Britain, it would be for strategic purposes. They wouldn't be allowed to exploit the manganese, and no Aduans would be permitted to land. That's why I had to make sure that Rhys couldn't report its real position. Oh, all these months, it's been like sitting on a time bomb. Any moment, a stray ship, navy, or aircraft like that Shackleton, we're still a Russian fallen.
Come on, Bailey! Come on, Bailey!
Yes.
It's Harry Deacon. He's gone. He wasn't in his cabin this morning. Everything left neat and tidy. A letter for me. He's gone. The end of the road, that's what he says. You don't understand. You don't seem surprised.
He couldn't go on, that's all. Like my father.
I'm sorry.
It's your ship now, Mr. Fields.
My ship.
Bailey? Do you see? On the horizon? Sails?
I annex this island on behalf of the Aduan People's Republic and raise our flag here. I thank Commander Bailey for being a witness. Our friend, Mr. Peter Strode, will send messages to all the world. I name this island Rana Mari because it was born of white water, of the struggle of an imprisoned land against the power of a great ocean. Good has emerged out of evil.
Well, that's it. Now you can get back to London. There'll be plenty to do there.
And here?
Don Mansour's brought plants and seeds of everything they grow on Medu. He reckons he'll have the whole island green in 2 years. Perhaps less.
And you?
Oh, I'll get going on the mining. The first shipment's due in Rotterdam in August. And look after the Aduan's interests with the rest of the world.
How long will that take?
A lifetime, I hope.
And Peter's staying there?
Oh, yes. He's not interested in Strode House. He says we're to use his votes for him as we think. He wants to look after Strode interests in the Indian Ocean.
Which are going to be big. We'll need new ships.
Well, with the shares going up the way they are, we shan't lack money for them.
Do you think we'll ever know what Henry and George really planned?
I shouldn't think so.
What does Peter want done about them?
He didn't seem to care. Give them golden handshakes or keep them as figureheads. They probably know a lot of people in the city. They'd be useful.
We've both been elected to the board, by the way.
That's good. I may be able to buy that house in London Mary wanted me to. I must go and see the children. Will you come?
I'd love to. What's happened to the Strode Venturer?
She just managed to limp back to Gan. But she's done her time. She'll have to be broken up.
We mustn't lose the name. There's too much history involved. The first of the new ships must have it.
And you must launch her.
Oh, no. Mary. She'd love to do it. And a small girl launching a ship, that'd be fine. There are going to be new horizons for us all. I like the idea of Mary saying, I name this ship Strode Venturer.
That was The Strode Venturer by Hammond Innes, adapted for radio by Peter Hall. Peter Strode was played by Martin Jarvis, Commander Bailey by John Shrapnel, and Captain Deacon by Colin Douglas. Ida was played by Heather Bell, Fields by David Brierley, Straker and Canning, Vernon Joyner, Henry Strode and the radio operator, Alan Rowe, Rhys and the steward, Peter Pacey, Wimble and Alexander, Geoffrey Matthews, Turner, Timothy Bateson, Don Mansour, Sam Dastor, Lenny and RAF officer, John Bull. The stewardess and waitress were played by Emily Richard. The production was by Dick and Reed.